are listening to the podcast of the White Church at the Elk River YMCA in Minnesota. Our mission is to seek Jesus, connect together, and share His love.
And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in the manger." Suddenly a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom His favor rests." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby, who were lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. I do not give it to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid.
Father God, we are grateful to be in this place. We give this time and our words and the meditations of our heart to you. We pray all this in your name. Amen. Good morning. My name is Megan. It is a privilege to share with you this morning a few things. This story that Mark just read for us is one of my favorite stories in Scripture. It's so peaceful, right? It starts out, and there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. There's sheep grazing. I mean, this looks like probably a lot cleaner sheep than was out there grazing, but isn't it cute? The sheep were out, and the shepherds are watching their fields. Sheep grazing, shepherds watching, slow walking, nowhere in particular to be. Maybe a fire crackling, the stars are bright, and the glow of the moon casts just enough light to see by. Now, I have this strange thing where I really like sheep, so I have several pictures for you today. I don't imagine that when you were talking about where you find peace, I don't imagine that anyone mentioned the state fair. It's not really, when we think of peace, it's not really what comes to our mind first. But there are sheep there. And most people want their picture taken with like pronto pups or, I don't know, selfies with other things. But I always want to find the sheep. And so this is my attempt at taking pictures of the sheep, which you can see didn't work out super well. Sheep are just peaceful creatures, right? We talk a lot about how sheep aren't very smart, but look how peaceful they are. I wonder if you asked a shepherd where they find peace, if they would say, out in the fields at night, next to the fire. It seems so idyllic, like sitting by the lake at the cabin, or maybe what I could imagine like sitting in a deer stand might be like, or out on the lake ice fishing. I can't say that I have done either of those things, but I can just imagine that it would be really peaceful. My version of peace would be drinking coffee in a big comfy chair next to the fireplace. Or those, maybe for you, it's those few quiet moments before the kids get out of bed. And the shepherds in our story, while they might have been content watching sheep, were also watching for predators, staying alert so that their sheep would not wander off or fall into holes. They were spending their days and nights working rescue missions as needed. And suddenly, in the midst of their ordinary, uneventful night, their world was forever changed. Their temporary peace was disrupted for true permanent peace, the peace that shepherds and everyone on earth had been waiting for. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Don't be afraid. I bring you good news that will be for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born. He is the Messiah, the Lord, and this will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly hosts appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests." Peace on earth. We've been studying the names of God cited in Isaiah 9:6 this Advent. "For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace." The next verse, Isaiah 9:7, says, "Of the greatness of his government and peace, there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing it and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this." The shepherds are watching and waiting along with the whole world for this prophecy of Isaiah to be fulfilled. For someone who would come and rescue them from Roman rule, someone who would be from the line of David and be a king unlike any other king. It's as if the angels are saying, "Today, the prophecy you have heard about is fulfilled. Good news, the king is here. The Prince of Peace has arrived, and he is in Bethlehem, and he is in a manger. Peace on earth. Hurry, go see it." As I've been thinking about this story the last couple of weeks, I don't know, maybe you've thought about this question before, but it just suddenly like dawned on me, like, what happened to the sheep? The shepherds, like, that was their job. And we like talk about how important the shepherd's job was, and then the shepherds just like left. Did they all leave their sheep out? And because like you look at the nativity scene and they have like one, like, who's the lucky one that got to go? Like, it was standing closest to the shepherd when the angels came, like, "Oh, well, I'll take you," and then they ran off. I don't know, maybe I don't have any answers to this question. Second question is, why the shepherds? We like, this is such a normal part of the Christmas story that the shepherds are involved. I don't know about you, but like, so my sister is having a baby soon, and I would not like call the shepherds to go help her first. Like, where are the doctors and the nurses and the people who could play like really helpful roles in this situation? Why did the announcement go to the shepherds? And thinking about this, I'm wondering if part of it is because there's this announcement that peace has come on earth for all people. The shepherds were not the religious elite. They didn't often observe Sabbath because they were out in their fields taking care of sheep who never stopped needing taking care of. The shepherds are out living sort of on the fringes of society, pretty much unnoticed, not much influence to speak of. But they are chosen. The writer of the story is not a Jew. Luke was a Gentile. And I wonder if the shepherds are included in the announcement as part of this reality that peace has come for all people, for you and for me. Today I want to look at four dimensions of this peace. Four ways of peace that were brought by Jesus when he came that night as a little baby. You see, when I think about peace, I think I don't really like feel much peace very often. I have a few things to show you here. Maybe your Christmas feels more like this, more less peaceful than a shepherd field, and more like thank goodness you're home, the Christmas tree fainted. Or maybe you tried a Pinterest project recently, like these reindeer cookies. Or I like this one, if you can't beat the laundry, decorate it. I don't know about you, but one of my least favorite chores is putting away the laundry, so I would totally put Christmas lights on it. Or coffee, I need more coffee. Maybe you're at this place where you are just so tired. How I feel when I finish Christmas shopping. Maybe some of you are there today. Maybe some of you wish you were there. We come, and this is a humorous look, right, at how this season often causes unrest. But underneath of it is this reality that our lives often feel devoid of peace, and not just at Christmas time when there is extra decorating and shopping and doing all the things. There seems to be little peace in the everyday going to work and school life. We long for places to have peace. Places like hospital rooms and doctor's offices, like our family rooms, our offices and cubicles, workplaces, the hallways of our schools, our nation, and our world. We long for things to be whole again, for things to be set right. Maybe your Christmas feels even a little too quiet this year because you are missing someone or something. Our souls are restless. One author, Ruth Wood, put it like this: something inside our souls is restless for permanence, for that place where we'll never have to say goodbye again to anyone or anything. Maybe this is the kind of peace that you're longing for this year. An early church father, St. Augustine, wrote, "You have made us for yourself, O Lord, and our heart is restless until it rests in you." God is our good shepherd, and he is on a rescue mission to find each one of us so that we might have permanent peace. I found this, and someone said, "Sometimes this is how God has to shepherd me." We come to these places where we get stuck, where we feel so far from God. When Jesus came to earth as a tiny baby born in a manger, he arrived as a Prince of Peace. God is on a rescue mission for each one of us. When the shepherds ran off to see Mary and Joseph and the baby, finding them just as the angels had described, they would not yet know the gravity of the one who had arrived. The place of real lasting peace is found nowhere except at the very foot of the cross, where this baby would lay down his life so that we might have life and have a restored relationship with God. And it's not this fleeting feeling, but it's an assurance that we have been made right with God as we put our trust in him. Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God, our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace, which we now stand, and we boast in the hope of the glory of God. In this context, to be justified means that we have been set right with God. And it isn't something we earn, but it's only by faith, only by believing Jesus as our Savior. We go from being his enemy to being friends. And it's not a subjective feeling, but it's an objective status. Have you experienced this kind of peace? Have you come into a relationship with God by Jesus and by his grace through faith then made right with God? If you haven't, or maybe this morning you might feel more like that sheep that got stuck. Maybe you feel like you wandered off a little bit. Maybe today, Jesus is inviting you to answer the call to come near to Jesus this Christmas as he has come near to us. And it's an invitation, not an obligation, the greatest gift you will ever receive. And this gift of peace with God, when you receive that, it permeates the rest of our lives and leads to true peace of God with others, and ultimately will lead to peace on earth. Now, this peace with God leads to peace of God, which doesn't seem like there should be much difference. But if we rewind the story of the shepherds a little bit, do you remember that when just one angel showed up, the shepherds were terrified? Imagine, like, Bjorn did a really good scared face. I don't know if y'all could see it, but, like, do your best scared face. Like, the angel arrived, and the shepherds were terrified. When is the last time you remember being terrified? What gets me is we read this in a very calm voice, right? Like, Mark did a great job. We read this in such a calm voice. The shepherds are out watching their sheep, and then an angel showed up, and they were terrified. The shepherds are freaking out, terrified. And imagine, these are like the tough people that are out there watching for animals that are going to attack their flock, and all, like, they are out in the elements. These are tough people, and the angels showed up, and they are scared out of their minds. Our world has a lot of ideas on how to achieve inner peace, things that will bring calm to our moments of chaos. But that said, the peace of God is so different than the peace this world can offer. The angels in the story remind us of the most common command found in the Bible: do not be afraid. Because in the midst of the shepherd's fear, the angel speaks into it and says, do not be afraid. Deep heart and mind guarding peace is found in the midst of troubles as we rest in the peace of God. It's not the product of meditation or self-help techniques, but it's the calm that we can only know because we rest in the arms of our Heavenly Father. John 14:27, peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. I don't give as the world gives, Jesus said. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid. Maybe you have made peace with God, but experiencing peace of God is something that you are longing for today. The kind of peace that settles your heart when circumstances only seem to shake it up. Paul writes in Philippians 4, do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And then the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, it's beyond anything we could comprehend, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. We can't ignore the fact that there is also an internal peace as we trust in God that's not based on feelings or situations or circumstances, but it comes by knowing we are cared for by our good shepherd. It's not just an internal sense of peace that we receive when we receive peace with God, but we also find peace with others. Maybe you've heard the Hebrew word for peace before, shalom. Shalom. The idea of shalom is not just this quiet place by still waters, but this concept of something being whole. All of the pieces of the pie are there. The pizza slices have not been taken. The puzzle pieces are all put together. This is a picture of shalom, of wholeness. This is putting things back together again. Restoration, reconciliation. When the angels declare peace on earth, it's the idea of shalom. It's being put back together again. We are wired for relationships, and our relationships with others are directly impacted by our relationship with God. And when Jesus came, the kind of peace we get to experience isn't just between us and God, but it's also between us and one another. Romans 12:18, Paul writes this: if it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. I think it's interesting that he put that phrase in there, as far as it depends on you. Maybe kids have heard this, or parents have said something like, you are only responsible for you, or you get to choose your attitude, right? We say that to kids, really, a lot of times I need to say it to myself. as far as it depends on you. The holidays often bring out interesting dynamics in relationships, ones that are often challenging, and I know there are places of hurt and pain in families, and it's amplified as we walk into Christmas. People are stressed and tired. They've been busy trying to make time for everyone, trying to please people. When my mentors would talk about how a family system is like a mobile, like, you know, there's those things you hang over kids' cribs with all the strings attached, and they can't, one part can't move without the whole thing moving. And then you get married, and it's like two mobiles come together. What happens when you put two mobiles together? Like, they just get tangled, right? We live in these relationships with one another that don't often feel very peaceful. Would you ask yourself this Christmas, as far as it depends on you, knowing that this is ultimately an overflow of the peace that we have received with God, will you live at peace? Have you asked God for supernatural peace in your relationships? His peace that is beyond our comprehension, that we could never have with one another out of our own strength, will, or desire, because we still live with the reality that sin exists. We each walk into relationships as imperfect people. We have a God who says, I want you to have peace with others, and that can come through me. And living at peace with God, of God, and with others will ultimately lead to what the angels were describing. But the peace that seems so elusive as we live in a world that is still so full of sin, as we live between this time when Jesus has come and we are watching and we're waiting like the shepherds for Jesus to come again. The angels declared that there would be peace on earth. The phrase we see splattered across Christmas cards, coffee mugs, and decorations. The words of the song, I Heard the Bells on Christmas Day, have been rolling through my brain as I've been thinking this week about what did it mean that Jesus came to bring peace on earth. And in despair, I bowed my head. There is no peace on earth, I said, for hate is strong and mocks the song of peace on earth, goodwill to men. The poet Henry Wadsworth Longfellow wrote these words on Christmas Day in 1863 during the Civil War. He was a 57-year-old widow, father of six children. His wife, Fanny, had died after her dress caught on fire, and he tried to help her put it out. The burns he suffered were so severe that he couldn't attend her funeral. His son had just been nearly paralyzed in a war that his country was fighting against itself. He heard the church bells ringing, but looked around and saw a world of injustice and violence that seemed to mock the truthfulness of this optimistic outlook. I can resonate with Longfellow today. Maybe you can too. Peace on earth. We sing about it, we long and we hope and we pray for it. Yet the news we read, the images of injustice around the globe that we see every day seem to mock this idea of peace on earth. When Isaiah was writing out the names of God that we read in 9:6, this Prince of Peace, he's living in Jerusalem in southern Judah and is convinced that the northern kingdom of Israel is done for. God had raised up a royal leader, David, who would be faithful on behalf of an unfaithful people. Yet David was an imperfect person with his own failures and story of brokenness that included murder and adultery. God promised that the ideal leader for Israel would come in the future from David's line. A faithful king would arise and lead Israel towards faithfulness. Throughout the book of Isaiah, we see this theme of future hope for this anticipated king. The kings of Israel were supposed to bring peace, shalom. The people were longing for a ruler who would right all wrongs and heal what had been broken. But king after king, Solomon, Saul, David, all the way up to we see King Herod, who we read about in the Beginner's Bible this morning, No earthly king's rule could bring lasting peace. Herod the Great was a man who was wrecked with sin and was ruthless. And when he heard about Jesus' birth, he decreed that all boys 2 years and under living in Bethlehem were to be killed. Herod would, of course, eventually die, but the earthly rulers that would come after him would never fulfill this kind of lasting true peace that was declared by the angels. Longfellow's song doesn't end in despair, and neither does ours. Then pealed the bells more loud and deep. God is not dead, nor does he sleep. The wrong shall fail, the right prevail. With peace on earth, goodwill to men. Because Jesus is our wonderful counselor, mighty God, everlasting Father, and Prince of Peace, the world can put their hope in his name. And this peace is not just for the shepherds who are out in the fields watching their flocks by night, but it is for all people as they trust and believe in Jesus. He comes to you and he comes to me, not always with angels and flashing bright lights, but often in the quietness of our hearts. And that is why, in his name, the nations will put their hope. Season, we've talked about each name of God. Talked about how God is our wonderful counselor. Means God has a plan for us. Talked about how God is our mighty God. God is able to accomplish his plan. He is our everlasting Father. God's plan is to love you forever. And as we close today and we prepare for Christmas Eve tomorrow, Jesus is our Prince of Peace. True peace is only found in God's plan. We can have peace with God, of God, peace with others, and peace on earth. It's not an idealistic hope, but it is a reality that is wrapped up in the swaddling clothes of a baby who is lying in a manger. Father God, we come to you and we look around and we wonder where peace is. And then we come and we look into the manger and we remember that you are Prince of Peace. That because you have come, we don't have to be afraid. We know that you are present in our darkness. You are present in our joy. God, we give you praise that in your name, the nations put their hope. Amen.
Thanks for listening to the Y Church podcast. For more information about the Y Church, check us out online at theychurch.org.